Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei. We are learning the Zecher and the Yidui Nishmasa Miriam Froh, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzhak, Allah HaShalom. May the Neshama have a continuous Aliyah and the Zchus of the Torah that we will share tonight. And of course, we thank the Froh family very much for their continued commitment and dedication to sharing the Torah that we are Zocha to share every week together, Baruch Hashem. So as if we had an interesting shiur, someone reached out to me, she said this was very interesting, interesting shiur. Someone else WhatsApp at me, somebody, part of this shiur group, who lost a daughter 6 years ago. She said the shiur was extremely helpful for her, and she just helps to frame a little bit the situation and the unceasing pain. So different people come to it from a different perspective, but certainly there's something to be said for this concept of Gilgul HaNeshama's transmigration of souls. So I don't want to spend a whole nother shiur on it. We spoke about it last week. One other person reached out to me and she said she prefers not to dwell on this. She wants to just do her Avodas Hashem. So I got three different perspectives from three different people. Okay, everyone comes to Torah from a different place. Some parts of Torah might speak to you in a more visceral way than others, but I mean, it's Torah, and Torah is Torah, even if it's a part that we don't usually delve into. So I just want to touch upon two more things that I realized after the shiur in regard to the concept of Gilgul HaNeshamos, and then we are moving on to another topic. The first thing that I realized very quickly after last week's shiur is that if you say the Kriya Shema Al Hamita, good evening, if you say the Kriya Shema Al Hamita, okay, every night, it begins with a Ribono Shel Olam. There is a certain tefillah that you say every night, the special prayers that you say before you go to bed at night. It's not just the Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, but there's a whole series of different prayers. It begins with the tefillah of Ribono Shel Olam. But you don't say, I'm fine, Neder Yomim Tovim. Okay, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the World, Hareini Mochel, behold, I forgive, L'chol Mishi Hichis V'Hiknit Osi, behold, I forgive everyone who angered and annoyed me, O Shechata Kenegdi, so before you go to sleep at night, you publicly declare that you forgave anyone who angered you or annoyed you, or who sinned against me, Ben Begufi, whether they sinned, annoyed me, or harmed my body, Ben B'Mamoni, whether it was monetary damage, ben bekvodi, they harmed my honor, ben becholosherli, whatever they did to me, I forgive them. The point being that if a person does not wake up in the morning, this way you have absolved anyone who has harmed you. Ben beones, whether it is accidentally, ben beratzon, whether they did so willingly, ben beshogeg, whether it was careless, ben bemezi, whether it was on purpose, ben bedibur, whether it was with their speech, ben bemasa, whether it was with an action. I quoted the story this morning of your father-in-law, Rabbi Hertzberg, and the great-grandson in camp. Rachi Fried is on the Zoom, and she was in shiur this morning, and Rachi heard me, as my witness tell it, it was a shiur on Hakar Satov, and I just quoted it this morning. Ben b'maser, whether it is by deed, ben b'machshava, whether they harmed me in thought, ben b'hirher, whether they even had a small degree of thought. How does article translate hear her? Notion. It's even less than a thought. I hear her is like a notion of something. What's the next words? I don't know if Nusach Ashkenaz is different. I say from Nusach Svard. Oh, Joanna knows. Oh, very good. So there you go, Joanna. Okay. So someone else says not every Nusach mentions Gilgal. Okay. So the Nusach that I have in my Siddurim and in my little pocket Shema by my bed has this. Ben b'Gilgal zeh, ben b'Gilgal acher. We say b'feirish that the Master of the World, I forgive anyone who angered or annoyed me or sinned against me, whether monetarily or in my body or in my honor or against anything that I have in all different kinds of iniquity, and whether it was by accident, whether they spoke against me, acted against me, thought against me, had a notion against me, ben b'gilgal zeh, ben b'gilgal acher, whether in this, and how does article translate this, whether in this transmigration or another transmigration. So you are declaring that you forgive anyone who hurt you in this lifetime, in a different lifetime, in this transmigration, or in that transmigration, for anyone in Israel, no one should be punished because of me. So we have this institution that when you lay down at night, you must say this. So the art scroll footnote in the art scroll sitter says, before retiring for the evening, it is proper for one to examine his deeds of that day. Should one recall an improper deed, he should pray for forgiveness and undertake to correct his ways. It is also proper to forgive those who have wronged him. In the merit of this, one will be granted a long life. And the art scroll footnote source is the Mishnah Brura. So therefore, I went to look it up. Well, actually, I had my son bring it to me. And then I looked it up. So the Mishnah Brura, I'm going to begin with the Shulchan Aruch. Okay. So the Shulchan Aruch in Simon Reish Lamed Tes Din Kriya Shema Al Mitaso. The Shulchan Aruch says as follows, and in it are two Se'ifim. Korei Al Mitaso, Parsha Rishona Shel Shema. The person should recite on his bed before he goes to bed the first paragraph of the Shema. Umivare Chamapil Chav Leshene Al Einai. And he makes a bracha, the one who puts sleep to fall upon my eyes. And Rav Soloveitchik has a fascinating essay, just an incredible, incredible essay. I once gave an in-depth shir on sleep. Rav Soloveitchik says something amazing. Hamapil, you say Hamapil right before you go to sleep, the bracha of Hamapil Chav Leshene El Einai Usnu Me'afapai. God causes slumber and sleep to fall upon my eyes. And in the morning, in the Birkas HaShachar, you say Hama Avir Shena. God removes sleep and slumber from upon my eyes. So Soloveitchik says that sleep is something that benefits us. Just like if you eat an orange, you get vitamin C. And if you eat carrots, you get vitamin A. And if you eat a steak, you get protein and iron. It benefits you. So before you eat, you have to make a bracha rishon and a bracha achrona. You make a blessing before you eat and a blessing after you eat. So Soloveitchik says that sleep benefits you. One of the forms, Rachman al son of torture for prisoners, there's no sleep. Sleep is very important for your body, just like eating, just like using the facilities, just like taking care of yourself in a healthy way. Part of that is sleep. So the Rav says it's in a safer blessing and thanksgiving that Hamapil is the bracha rishona, the blessing you have to make before you benefit from sleep, and Hamaavir Shena Me'ayna Yusnu Me'afapai, which is the last in the series of the Birkas HaShachar, God removes slumber, is the bracha achrona after sleep. So even sleep can't be done without thanking God. Even sleep has to be seen as a gift, as a matana that sustains our body and allows our soul to function properly, and it includes a bracha rishona. So if someone here does not recite the Kriya Shema and does not say Hamapil, it's not a big deal to take it upon yourself. It's not like 20 pages long of what you have to say, and you're not allowed to go to sleep, you're not allowed to benefit from sleep without making a bracha rishona. And when you wake up in the morning, you must take the bracha achrona. It's fascinating. My daughter, she called me a few weeks ago from Israel, and they were learning something or doing an essay or a test on sleep. So she said, Mommy, I remember you told me that somebody says that sleep, that Hamapil is the bracha before sleep, and Hamavir Sheina, Birkas HaShachar, is the bracha after sleep. Like bracha Rishon Echor. I said, yeah, I was so happy she remembered. I said, you're right, Tamar. So she said, who told you? Where did you read it? So I said, it's from Rav Soloveitchik. She said, oh, I said, I just don't know if you should quote it. I don't know if they hold of, Hashkafa, or this, what's the word I'm looking for? This vart, this idea, where you are, not anything bad, just maybe they don't. She said, no, I just wanted to know for myself. So it's a beautiful idea to keep in mind. So going back to the Shulchan Aruch, Korei Al Mitoso, Parsha Rishonos Hoshema, and again, I'm not passing anything halachic. If you have a halacha question about saying the Kriya Shema before you go to bed, please ask your Rav. I'm not passing, I'm simply reading the Shulchan Aruch, Simon Reish Lamitas. So, Korei Al Mitaso, Parsha Rishona Shel Shema. So, you have to at least say the first paragraph of the Shema, which begins at Devarim Perek Vav, Pasuk Dalid. Umevare Hamapil Chev Lashena Elenai. And then you make the Brach of Hamapil, who causes the slumber, the slumber to go upon my eyes. Bekitzi, you're going to sleep. And now, Haga, the Ramah says, Ramosha Israelis, the Yikra Kriya Shema. So you can't like say Kriya Shema now, right? For where Kriya Shema al-Hamita, if you're davening Marv, so you're saying the Kriya Shema now. But it has to be Samuch Lamitaso. I can't say it now and say a Mapil now, and it's 8:39, and then at 11:30 I'm going to sleep. Samuch Lamitaso. Ve'ein ochlim v'shosim. We do not eat or drink. Ve'lo midabrim achar Kriya Shema. We do not speak after you say the Kriya Shema. Sha'al Mitaso. The Kriya Shema specifically that you say when you go to bed. Ela yishan miyad. You should go to sleep right away, says the Ramah. Shenemar. Imru b'vavchem al mishchavim. Do musela. It's one of the pesukim we say. And the Kriya Shema al Hamita, you say in your hearts upon your bed, and then you be silent. So we don't eat, we don't drink, we go to sleep after you go through these prayers before you go to bed. And is it mutter to say it when you're laying down, or do you have to be sitting up? You have a halacha l'maisa question, don't ask me. I'm not passing anything. Maybe sometimes that happens to you also. Let's say you say the Kriya Shema and you can't fall asleep right away. So you did the Ribono Sha'olam, you say all the psukim with the Shema, you say Hamapil, and then you can't fall asleep right away. So what do you do, says Ramah? Haya. Oz, excuse me, Choser, V'korei kame pa'amim zeh achar zeh. Is this recording lit up? Yeah. Okay, so what do? You go repeat and you read it a few times, one after another, ad sheyishtaka b'sheina, until sleep overcomes you. So if you can't fall asleep, you should continue the recitation of these psukim until you fall asleep. V'sheyeh kriyasu samuch l'shnaso. But once again, the recitation of this series of passages in psukim and tefillos has to be close to when you go to sleep. V'ein mevarchen al kriya shemasha al mitaso. And you're not mevarch the kriya shema that is upon your bed. So are you allowed to go lay down? Should you be sitting up? Where exactly the position? Okay. I'm going to go to, my son told me when you quote the Mishnah Berurah, you say Seif Katan. Okay? Which I didn't know. So the Shulchan Aruch is, this is Simon Reisham Mites. Ubo Bei Seifim. We read the Shulchan Aruch. Then we read the Ramah, the glosses, Ramosha Israelis. Shulchan Aruch is Rav Yosef Cairo. And now we go to the Mishnah Berurah. And the reason I'm going to this is because Ben Begil Gazeh, Ben Begil Go'acher, the footnote in the Arutz Kol Siddur references this Mishnah Berurah, so I wanted to look it up to see what the Mishnah Berurah has to say. And it's interesting, because keep in mind that the Mishnah Berurah is the Chafetz Chaim. So you'll see what he paskins is the halacha, what you have to say before you go to sleep. And here we go. Va'omer, okay? And what happens, okay. The Shulchan Aruch, Rav Yosef Karo, the Mechaber just told us, you say a series of psukim. Yoshe b'seser elyon, Hashem marabut sarai, Baruch Hashem bayom, Baruch Hashem balayla, Baruch Hashem b'shkaveinu, Baruch Hashem b'kameinu, Hashem el ha-satan, yigar Hashem b'cha ha-satan, Hashem shomrecha. These are all psukim that are part of the Kriya Shema al Hamita. So, the Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim says, Kol elu ha-psukim shenahagu l'amram, hu l'hagein shelo yavo alav chas v'sham davara. It's not actually Shema. If you look in the Siddur or in your pocket, Kriya Shema, after you recite the Shema, beginning with the V'hi Noam Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu, there's a whole series of psukim you say. What's the purpose of all these psukim? Which the Shulchan Aruch brings down. The Shulchan Aruch was written by Rav Yosef Karo in the 1500s, the compilation of Halacha, Mamaisa, and of course that's how the Sfaradim Paskin. We Paskin according to the Ramah, and it was put together, they worked and they put their works together. You can go to the shul in Tzfas of Rav Yosef Karo today. So all these psukim that you say is part of the Kriya Shema Alamita, Shenahagu la'armam hu la'hagen shelo yavo alav chas v'sham davara. So the Chafetz Chaim says, the purpose of all of these, it's not like some, you know, like Paro's Kishuf practices, chas v'sham, we say these psukim as a tefillah that we should be protected from bad. V'imhu chola o anus, let's say a person is sick or he's prevented for some reason from reciting these psukim. And anus is, for example, an onin, shekoveris meso, hilemacharas bayom. So that's a kasiv, kasav hagon of Shlomo Zalman Arbach. So for example, there's different times when you're prevented from saying this, okay? So if you're prevented, dai b'mesha yomer parsha rishona shal kriya shema birkas hamapil avad. So it seems to be that the very least requirement is to recite the kriya shema, and the bracha of hamapil. You can't benefit from an orange without a bracha. You can't benefit from an apple without a bracha. You cannot benefit from sleep without a bracha. So at the very least, you must say the Shema and the bracha of hamapil. Kasuf hasfarim. Continue with the Mishnah Berurah, okay? So this is called Seif Katan of the Mishnah Berurah test. Kasvu hasfarim, the sfarim, right? Shabalayla kodem hashena, at night before you go to sleep, nachoma adam shayifash fesh b'ma'asav. What should a person do every night before he goes to sleep? Not rattle off the words without knowing what you're saying. Oh my gosh, I'm so tired. How much do I have to say now? You should be mifash fesh b'ma'asav. The Gemara says that they argue, the Chachamim argue, is it better for man to be created or not be created? So what did they say? It's better for man to not be created. Mutav lo la'adam shalom livna. It's better that you shouldn't have been created. Ba me'achshav shenivra, once you're created, yefash feish b'masav. If you're already here, you got to do a cheshbon nefesh. You have to take an accounting of the soul. You have to check your deeds. So the Mishnah Berurah says, the Chafetz Chaim writes, at night, it is appropriate for a person, sheyefash feish b'masav, she'asa kol yom. I'm going to make a joke. I don't mean it like leitzanus chas v'sham. If you do too much of a mifash vesh b'masa before you go to sleep, you're not going to be able to go to sleep. Because then it's going to be on your mind all the sins you did that day. Maybe not you, but me. And then you don't want to beat yourself up to the point where you can't sleep. The whole point is to benefit from sleep because it benefits your body. But it is appropriate for a person, I'm not chas v'sham saying anything against the Mishnah Berurah, God forbid. So you fash vesh b'masa, you should check your deeds. What did I do today? And if you find when you do a fashvesh b'masav, you do a chashban nefesh, an accounting of the soul and your actions. If you did an avera, yisvada Allah, you should say vidui. You should orally confess this is a sin I did. V'yikabel al atzmo shelo laso so'od. Excuse me, you should take it upon yourself not to do that sin anymore. Ubiprat, and especially ba'avonos hamitzuyim, common sins. So this is a Chafetz Chaim. So what do we think he's going to include in common sins? The Mishnah Berurah is written by the great Gaon, the Chafetz Chaim. So I was smiling because he says especially sins that are more common, that are more found. So what do we think he includes? The first one is chanifas, which is chanifa. It's one of the categories of forbidden speech, inappropriate flattery of a person where it would not be appropriate. Inappropriate flattery of a rasha. Shikarim, what's shikarim? Sheker, lies. Leitzanus, what's leitzanus? Mockery, scoffer, making life into one big joke. What's the next one? Lashon hara. This is a Chafetz Chaim. Okay? So if you find that you did an avirus, specifically avirus that are more common, like a chanifa, sheker, leitzanus, lashon hara, v'chein avon bitul Torah, and certainly if you did the sin of wasting time, idle time, and not learning Torah, you were mevatel Torah, tzrichim bedika biyoser. You need to do an extra investigation. It's not enough to do a regular chashbon nefesh. You need to do extra delve deeply into it even more. Gam ra'ui, here we go. It is also worthy. Limchol l'chol mishachata kenegdo v'tziaro. Not only do you have to examine your own deeds and say, what did I do wrong that day, and take it upon yourself not to do it again tomorrow, Be'ezer Hashem, Hashem will give you back life. It is also appropriate to forgive anyone who sinned against him and caused you pain. U'bizchus zeh, and in the merit of forgiving others, ha'adam ma'arich yamim, a person will be zocha to arichus yamim. So in the zchus of forgiving others, you should forgive and you shouldn't hold anything against them. Then you will be ma'arich your days, Hashem will give you long life. And that is a quote from Maseches Megillah. The Mishnah Berurah is quoting Maseches Megillah, Chaf Ches. And therefore, umishum kach tikru nusach shel ribono shel olam hareini mocha. And that's why we have the nusach, the text of that tefillah with which we started shiur tonight. A master of the world, behold, I forgive anyone who harmed me or annoyed me or sinned against me monetarily, physically, my kavod, even if they had a notion in this Gilgal, in another Gilgal, based on this idea that we should forgive someone before we go to sleep, and it'll be a zchus for us for arichus yamim. So this is also interesting. Ve'im yesh lo tina al adam kasu b'shaylus u'chulas chuvas artzi. And this is the Mishnah Berurah Dirshu. It's absolutely fantastic because besides with the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah, over here it has footnotes of all modern day poskim. So that's what I'm quoting from now. The modern day poskim. Interestingly, im yesh lo tina al adam kasu b'shaylus u'chuvas artzion shelo yomar nusach zeh mishum dover shakarim. What did I just read? Yeah?
If someone is not going to forgive, they shouldn't read that nusach because it would be
so fine. If you taka have a taina and a complaint and a problem with somebody else, again, I'm not passing anything halacha. Calvus goes halacha l'maisa, you must ask your own rav. Okay, it's just an interesting idea. It says in the Shai's Chuvas Arletzion that you shouldn't say this nosach av hareini mocha l'chol mishi yichis v'knit oti. You shouldn't say this. Mishum dover shkarim, because you're telling? It's not true. You're not forgiving everybody. So if you talk or really have someone that you can't forgive them, you're embroiled in some kind of machlokas, and you don't forgive them in this Gilgal, and you don't forgive them in another Gilgal, so maybe you shouldn't say this because you're speaking lies. How you paskin alach alamaisa? So obviously we should try and forgive everybody. If there's really a situation where you really feel you can't, so you must ask your local Orthodox rabbi. But I thought that this was very interesting, and in light of Shir last week, as soon as I said the Ribono Shel Olam last week, after Shir, it was so obvious. So we forgive anyone, Ben Begil, So for other people who reached out to me, one said she found it very interesting. Regular Shir participant who's been learning here for many years. Someone else who's more nourished since COVID, who lives out of town, says she's heard these things before, but she prefers not to dwell on it. She wants to move on to other areas. Fine. And the one person who's also newer to this Shir who reached out, who said it gave her some perspective to frame the pain after Rachman Hatzlan, the loss of her beloved daughter. Whatever your hashkafa or your approach is, it's definitely a Torah Judaic concept. There is such a thing as transmigration of the souls, whether it speaks to you directly or not. Maybe it speaks to a different part of your neshama. So therefore, it's something to be addressed, and it's mamash something that's said every night before you go to sleep. And I also thought that the commentary of the Mishnah Berurah was extremely interesting, this idea that A, you should do a cheshbon nefesh for yourself. What did I do wrong? Especially the tzanus, hanifa, Eitanus Hanifa, Lashon Hara, and especially Bittul Torah. And furthermore, we should take it upon ourselves to forgive everyone else, which is how we came up with this tefillah of Ribono Shel Olam. I thought that was extremely interesting. That was the first thing I wanted to say about Begil Gozer. Okay, Nusach, Nancy wants to know. So 1 second, there are a bunch of comments. 1 second. Baruch Hashem, Nancy. Okay. So Nusach, how do you translate Nusach? Like Ashkenaz, how do you translate
Nusach?
Version? If you pick up a Siddur that's Nusach Ashkenaz, and you pick up a Siddur that's Nusach Sfard, I'm not talking about Eidut HaMizrach, Sfardim. Like, for example, we come from Hasidic background, so we daven Nusach Sfard.
Text or version.
What is the translation?
It's version or text.
Version or text. Okay, so the text, like for example, what do they daven in the Shari?
Ashkenaz.
Ashkenaz?
Downstairs is Sfard and upstairs is Ashkenaz.
Oh, okay, so here it's
so
both.
So
young Israel's usually daven Nesach Ashkenaz, right? Yeah. Don't yeshivas daven Nesach Ashkenaz also?
Yeah,
so yeshivas daven Nesach Ashkenaz, Hasidim daven Nesach Sfard more. Correct? Okay, fine. So we personally daven Nesach Sfard. So there are differences in the text. What did you say? Version? In the slight changes in the version or the text of the davening,
most,
Nancy?
Most importantly is in Kedusha. It comes out in Kedusha.
But Kedusha, but there are many changes in the davening also. There's differences.
There's
little differences.
But,
yeah.
And you do it by, but it's all, that's and the one thing where you have to know.
If you're davening and all of a sudden you're a Kedusha, you realize you took the wrong sitter.
Right.
Right. If you go to the shul that they have really done, make sure you take the right sitter. Also, I'll tell you something interesting. Where there's a big change, in Shabbos Mevorchim, there's a very big difference. Nusach Sfard has tfilos that we asked for that Nusach Ashkenaz does not have. And my daughter told me she had a teacher in TMM. She went to TMM for high school who davened Nusach Ashkenaz. Again, I don't know if this is what the rabbi said. I'm not saying anything halachic. But when it came to Shabbos Mevarchim, she davened Nusach Sfard. This teacher. Because there are really extra tfilos and bakashos, I should say. Nancy, you're welcome. So Nancy's... Nusach, Abigail says Nusach means style. It's not just the style. No, it's not style. It's more the text or version. It's not style. Sorry, I don't think it's style.
It's a different dialect or the same language. It's like a little different.
There's differences in the compilation and text of the prayers between Nusach Ashkenaz, version davened by Ashkenaz, and version davened by Sfard.
Yeah, they're close. I mean, when I was in Rome and you go, or Venice, and you go to hear that Nusach, that's like you have no idea what
that's
they're
different.
Saying. But Nusach Ashkenaz is like Sfard. There, you know, I said Kedusha there are other times, but generally.
So that's like Eidut HaMizrach. If you dive in somewhere, Eidut HaMizrach is totally different. It's not like Ashkenaz and Sfard. Also, Nusach Ari, I believe, is very different. What Chabad davens. So let me just tell you what we say in the Yihiratzon. This Shabbos is Shabbos Baruchim.
Right.
Okay? So in Nusach Sfard, we say, one second. Someone else says the avod of Yom Kippur.
Yeah, Yom Kippur.
So which is what you started to say before. I'll tell you something interesting about the Yom Kippur avoda. I'll tell you something fascinating about the Yom Kippur avoda. It's brought down in the machzor of commentary of Rav Salvechuk, which is put up by the OU, but it's an art school machzor. It's Nusach Ashkenaz. But I have it just for all the commentary on the bottom. Someone says Nishmas is also different. Everything, it's very, very different. But this is extremely interesting. I didn't know this was going to come up. I don't have my Machzor Aviyam Kippur here with me, with the commentary of the Rav. But he held that the Nusach Sfard Avoda was the authentic Avoda, and then it's brought down that it was written by the Kohen Gadol during the time of Bais Sheni. And the Nusach Ashkenaz Avoda was written much later by an Italian family, hundreds or 1,000 years after the Churban. So even though he davened Nusach Ashkenaz, he felt that the Nusach Svard Avoda, and there was obviously a source, I don't have my Machzor in front of me, okay? That the Nusach Svard Avoda of Yom Kippur is much more authentic, and many believe it was actually written by the Kohen Gadol, the high priest, during the time of the Second Temple. And it's interesting, it came up in Shul this year because we daven by Beis Major Shwimner. Rabbi Akiva Willig is our rabbi, the son of Rav Mordechai Willig Shlita. And someone told my husband, I think I remember who it was, who attended YU, that in Yeshiva University they would give out the Seder Avoda, and it was based on Nusach Svard Avoda, which makes sense if the Rav held that that was the authentic Avoda. So there are definitely differences. Going back, so my daughter said her teacher davened everything Nusach Ashkenaz, except for the Misha Berach by the Berachas HaChodesh, because there's many more Bakashas. So we say, you're gonna, if you're familiar with the Nusach Ashkenaz, you'll see that there are differences. He should renew upon us this month for good and for blessing. Keep in mind that this is Shabbos Bevarachem. V'titen lanu chayim aruchim. Hashem should give us long life. Chayim shal shalom, a life of peace. Chayim shal tova, a life of good. I'm not sure what the Nusach Ashkenaz is, but it's shorter. I'm so silly. I'm using an Ashkenaz sitter. It's not going to work. Forget the whole thing. Unless there's a Nusach, is there a Nusach Svarad sitter? How far do you have to go? I just realized when I looked at it that it's not what I want. Do you have to go far? Okay, they're going to see if they could find one. Let me see all these comments. There's a lot of comments here. So Nancy, I hope we're answering your question. Yeah, Vigayos' version is a better translation. So Avigail says that in Israel, Nusach Ashkenaz has a lot of similarities to Nusach Sfar. That's interesting. They say Rosh Chodesh benching like Nusach Sfar. Okay, as soon as I looked at it, I saw that it's not what I wanted. Thank you both very much. You both went. Okay. I think it's the second paragraph. It's the Yichad Sheo Kodesh Baruch Hu that has more than the Yehi Ratzon. So after we say it is Rosh Chodesh, whatever, on this and this day, Yichad Sheo Kodesh Baruch Hu, Aleinu Val Kolmo Beis Yisrael, the Tova Vilevracha, Shem should renew upon us and all of Israel for good and for blessing, L'shasun u'l'simcha, for joy and gladness, L'yeshua u'l'nechama, salvation and comfort, L'parnasa Tova u'l'chalkala, for sustenance and satiation, L'chayim Tova u'l'shalam, for good life and peace, L'shmuos Tovos, for good news, U'l'besuros Tovos, to hearing good, and for good news, Uda Gashamin Beitam in a leap year in the winter, and rain in its time, and for Rafua Shalema, and for redemption that should come soon, and we should all say Amen. So it's interesting, thank you very much, that in Nusach Svard, especially by Rosh Chodesh benching, there are some differences. Everyone should daven whatever they daven, whatever your Rav, whatever your family minhag. How did we get into this? Why did I even get into this?
We're talking about Nusach.
Because why?
We're talking about what Nusach means.
I'm talking about
the definition of Nusach.
Right, because Nancy asked, what is Nusach mean? Correct. And Gilgal means, we spoke a lot about Gilgal last week, Gilgal means the transmigration of the souls, which we had a whole in-depth share last week on. Okay, I'm moving on. Thank you very much. Okay, so when you bench Shabbos Vavarchim this week, whatever your Nusach is, should have in mind that it should be a month full of blessing. Azor Hashem. So I wanted to quote one more thing on this idea of spark, because last week we spoke about, if you remember, Shnei Anashim Nitzim Ivrim, there were two Hebrews fighting, and I quoted you, I believe it's in the name of Salvation, even though I couldn't find it, that it says Nitzim. What does it mean, Nitzim? Why doesn't it say they're having machokas, or they're having quarrel? Because there's a spark of kedusha, of holiness, and of tahara, purity, in every Jewish soul that is never extinguished. And we spoke last week about the fact that the souls, when there's transmigration, one opinion is, the Jewish opinion, that's not the whole soul that transmigrates, it's sparks or portions of a soul. Okay, one thing I want to quote from Rav Soloveitchik, okay? So the Pasuk tells us in the beginning of Ma'isa Bereishis that the first thing Hashem created was light. The world was tohu v'vohu v'choshech al panei tohom. It was nothingness and chaos and darkness over the surface of the deep. And Hashem said, Yihi or, let there be light. And there was light, and Hashem saw the light, and it was good. So Rav Soloveitchik says, quote, Rashi comments that God recognized the world did not deserve to use the originally created light. What does Rashi say there? Hashem hid it away for the tzaddikim v'asid lava. Hashem took this primordial light. It's not light like the sun, because the sun wasn't created till the fourth day. So it's some kind of light that we're not exactly sure what it was. There was light and dark. And Hashem hid it away for the righteous for the future. Let's tzaddikim v'asid lava. He thus maintains, Rashi, that the aura discussed here is not the electromagnetic phenomenon of light. It's not the light that we understand, light in our world. This light was something too good for mankind at that time. Hashem had to hide it away. So God reserved it for the future. You could say that one aspect of this light, this hidden away light for the future, was revealed when, as everything's back in the Torah, we're in the parashas of Shmos Ve'era Bo B'Shalach, specifically we're between Shmos and Ve'era. What happens, I'm taking a break for a second from the Rav, what happens when Amram and Yocheved, Vayelech Ish mi Beis Levi, Vayikach Espas Levi, when the parents of Moshe get remarried, Vatahar HaIsha, the woman became pregnant, Vatele Bein, she gave birth to a son, Vatebe Oso, and she saw him, Ki Tovu, that he was good, Vatitzpineo Shalosha Yerachim. She hid him for 3 months. I just thought of something interesting. I'll tell you in a minute. What I'm doing, I didn't even get to the Rav really yet. He just quoted the Rashi. The first one of the first Rashis in Sefer Bereishis tells us when Hashem created this light, that we don't exactly understand what it was, because it's not like the sun is shining. Hashem saw it was too good, so he hid it away for the tzaddikim la'asad lavo. He hid away for the righteous for the future. So that first light was concealed. No one could have access to it. So what I was going to say is that it came out in the time of the redemption from Egypt. What does it mean when Moshe was born and his mother saw that he was good? So if you recall what Rashi says there, Perek Beis, Pasuk Beis, what does Rashi say? Kishenolad, when Moshe was born, Nismale Habayis Kulo Ora. The whole house was filled with light. So it doesn't mean the sun was shining in the house of Moshe Rabbeinu. What does it mean? Kulo Ora, that original light that was hidden away for the tzaddikim, la'asulavo, Moshe's a tzaddik, la'asulavo. Moshe was a righteous person who came in the future. He was zocha, and his generation was zocha, worthy to benefit from that initial light that was hidden away. So what was the first thing Hashem created? Or, vayomer elkim ihi or, vayihi or, vayar elkim isar ki tov. Vayar elkim isar ki tov. Or is Tov, Moshe is born, the Pasuk says Ki Tov, what's Ki Tov? Or is everyone with me? It's amazing. Yes, you with me, you're not with me, you know what I'm talking about? It's incredible. Again, when Hashem created Or, which is the 21st word in Torah, after he created the Or, the Pasuk says, Vayar Elokim es Or Ki Tov. Hashem saw the light, it was good, ki tov. Nothing in the Chumash is an accident. Rashi in Sefer Bereishis tells us that light was too good. It had to be hidden away for the righteous in the future. Oh, now skip 26 generations from Ma'isa Bereishis, because Avram was 20 generations, and then Yitzchak is 21, and Yaakov is 22, Levi is 23, Kahas is 24, Amram is 25, Moshe is 26. Skip 26 generations, and here you have a tzaddik la'asid lavo, a righteous man in the future, who is worthy of that light. What words are used to indicate he's worthy of this light? Well, what words are used by Ma'isa Bereishis to tell me Hashem made this light? Ki tov. So what words are used here? Ayar Elokim es ar ki tov. Vatere oso kitov. Listen to the lashon. Vayar Elokim es ar kitov. God saw the light was good. Vatere oso kitov. She saw he was good. What does it mean he was good? It means he was beautiful. It means he was the most stunning baby. It means he goes onto the magazine covers the most beautiful child. No, that's not what it means. Kitov means it's a reference to the original light. Says Rashi. Yes, one of his names was Tuvia. Yes. So says Rashi, Kishanolad Nismala Habais Kulo Ora. That original light was revealed when Moshe was born. But I thought of something very interesting. If you notice, I paused before and I said, I just thought of something. I just thought of something that I think is very interesting. I just thought of something that's very interesting. This is very cool. It's discussed because everywhere in Chumash is significant. I never thought of this in my life, only because we're discussing this year. Learning through this year. But every word of Chumash is very significant, every letter. Nothing's an accent. So it doesn't say she hid him for 3 months, if you pay attention to the lashon of the pasuk, the language of the verse. Vatahar ha'isha, the woman conceived, vateleid bein, she gave birth to a son, vatere oso kitov, we already made a comparison to vayar l'kimis ar kitov, she saw him, he was good, it must be the kitov, and the kitov are connected, she saw the original light emanating in the house when Moshe was born. Vatitzbinehu, what's the next words? I said it before. Vatitzbinehu shalosha, doesn't say she hit him for shlosha chodeshim, talking about Rosh Chodesh benching. Atitzbineu shlosha, anyone remember?
Didn't you say Yerech?
Yerech. Oh, very good. Very, very nice, honey, correct. Atitzbineu shlosha yerachim. So we translate it as 3 months. She hit him for 3 months. However, yerach is not really 3 months. It's three moons. She hit him for 3 moons. So here we have a very interesting further reference to Maisa Bereishis. We have the light. It's emanating when Moshe is born. He is Kitov. The light is Kitov. God saw Kitov. She sees Kitov. So Chazal Darshan, that the house was filled with light. Doesn't mean, you know, the sun is in the sky for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 3 months. It means he's Zocha to bring some of that light that was hidden away for the Tzadikim L'Asudavod. But it's B'nei Shalosha Yerachim. She has to hide him for 3 moons. So perhaps the light is so intense and the moon indicates a time of darkness. When the moon is shining, it's dark outside. So maybe it's, I don't know, I didn't see it brought down anywhere. I was just thinking of it. I didn't even have time to really work through it so much, only as I read the Pesukim, because we're talking about the light of Moshe. She hides him for 3 moons, 3 months. It's a remez to the fact, an allusion to the fact that the moon shines in a time of darkness. She needs to bring some degree of darkness to the home, not spiritual darkness, but in some way she needs to conceal the light. Otherwise the Egyptians will know that the baby's there. If the house is beaming with this light, and it's only worthy for tzaddikim, for la'asudavo, and she doesn't want the baby to be found because she's hiding him, so she needs in some way to cover up, to dampen, to hide, to put a blackout shades. But it's b'nei shalosha yerachim. She's able somehow to contain the light, which perhaps is indicated by this idea of 3 moons, because a moon shines when it's dark, not when it's light, and perhaps in some fashion she's able to contain this intense light, which is why the Egyptians do not find him. I don't know, but interesting idea, an interesting thought. So now I go back to Rav Salavejik. I really only want to say 2 things on Gilgulim tonight to continue our conversation of last week, because the author talks about Gilgal, but it ended up taking up the whole class, which was not planned, as you could see by all the sources I brought, which I was planning to get to. Okay, I'm not trying to make my bags heavier than necessary. I really thought we would get to further insights. Okay, it's okay. Let's keep going. I'm going back to Rav Salavejik. The light referred to by Maisa Bereishis, by creation, is something that was too good for mankind at the time, so God reserved it for the future. We see one emanation of that in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was 26 generations, and Shem Hashem, interestingly, Yod, then Hey, then Vav, then Hey is also 26. Yod is 10, Hey, and Hey is another 10, and Vav is 6. So Moshe Rabbeinu came 26 generations after Maisa Bereishis, is the person who Shem Hashem is revealed to. That's what the pasuk says in the beginning of the era. The patriarchs had the name Kel Shakai revealed to them, but this generation, you, Moshe, will have the name Yud, then Hey, then Vav, then Hey revealed to you, which is alluded to the fact that Moshe was 26 generations from the time of Maisa Bereishis. Okay. Says Rav Soloveitchik, this light, this original light, will be the source of illumination for the righteous in the age of redemption. So the true degree of that intense light will only be revealed to us in the future. Moshe was a goel, Moshe was a redeemer. So in the time of that redemption, there was some of that light revealed. I just thought of something else. If that light is saved for redemption by the hands of tzaddikim, so in Moshe's time, some of the light was revealed. Kitov. Kitov refers to Or. The Or is hidden away for the tzaddikim for redemption. So what do we see by Purim? What were you going to say?
I'm saying that Moshe also redeemed us from Mitzrayim.
Moshe?
Moshe redeemed us from Mitzrayim. I mean, Hashem did, but Moshe was our shliach.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. If the light signals redemption, we see a proof of it another time. What are we told by the time of the Purim Nes? La Yehudim Haiso, it's the first thing we know. Ora. Then Simcha Sasun Viko. I think it's Megillah 8:16. I think. Perachas Pasuk Tazayin. I could be wrong. La Yehudim Haiso. Ora. V'Simcha Sasun Viko. Kain Tielana. That's what we say. Kain Tielana. It doesn't say that in the Megillah. The Yehudim had light. And then gladness, joy, and honor. But you see that redemption is associated with the tzaddikim in each generation who bring us the geula. We see it by Moshe Rabbeinu, and you see it again by the time of Megillas Esther, redemption from Haman and Ahasuerus, who wanted to kill us. So Rav Soloveitchik says this light will really be fully revealed in the age of redemption, and he quotes a pasuk from Yeshayahu, Perach Samech, Kumi, arise, Uri, Ori, Kumi, Ori, let your light arise. Kiva Orech, because your light has come. Ukvod Hashem Alayich Zarach. Yes, this is adapted to our Friday night tefillos. Kumi Ori, get up, arise, and shine. Kiva Orech, your light, or with an af, has come. Ukvod Hashem Alayich Zarach, the honor of God has shined upon you. Even now, however, so does that mean we don't benefit from any of this light? So this the reason I brought this piece in the first place is because last time we spoke about the sparks of the neshama. Even now, however, says Rav Soloveitchik, every person is endowed with some degree of this metaphysical light. Every person has a tiny spark of this metaphysical light. So Moshe had it in a huge degree. And in the time of Haman and Ahasuerus, the Jews were saved, and there was a lot of awe. And even think about, this is amazing. If it's light that's reserved for redemption, think about Hanukkah. How do we celebrate the whole Hanukkah? It's by lighting a lamp. It's by bringing or. So you see that this concept of redemption is repeatedly associated with increased light. Moshe, Kitov, she tries to dampen that. But Titzpineu Shalosha Yerachim, she doesn't know what to do. The house can't be beaming for 3 months. So she uses the concept of moon to bring some darkness to dampen the light so they shouldn't find him. By Purim, which we're coming up to, even though it's an Ibra Shana, by Purim, Ayudim Haisa Ora, I think it's 8:16, Vesasam Vikar. By Hanukkah, the whole celebration is with light. That's the whole, it's not a mitzvah to eat a sufganiyan, it's not a mitzvah to play dreid, it's not a mitzvah to have a laka, it's a mitzvah to light a menorah. So what about us every day as we transmigrate through Olam Hazeh? Even now, however, says Rav, each person is endowed with some degree of this metaphysical illumination. We all have sparks of this light. God implanted this aura, this light, in the inner recesses of each person. Each person has some spark. And he affirms in our verse that this spiritual light is good. Something inherently redeeming resides in the human personality. And now he quotes the Kabbalah, which was really the whole shiur last week on Gilgulim, is really a Kabbalistic concept. The Kabbalah portrays man's inner light as nitzotzos. Remember, Shnei Anashim Nitzim Ivrim. He taught two Hebrew men quarreling. But I told you last week, what's the source? I think it's Shemos 2:13, 2:12, 2:13. He saw two Hebrew men quarreling, but it's from the root word nitzutz, because he really saw, the Chumash is telling us that there's a spark that remains alive in every Jew, no matter how far down they seem to have fallen. The Kabbalah portrays man's inner light as nitzotzos, sparks, which can never be completely extinguished. In the world to come, which is in the next world, Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba. This clear light will emerge from out of the darkness that envelops it, and all the hidden potential within each person will emerge. So not he's not referring to Olam Haba. That's not what I meant. When he says in the world to come, he means Bimosa Mashiach. And the end of days, this clear light will emerge from out of the darkness. So in this world, even though there are sparks of this light, it has to be somehow darkened and dampened. And perhaps that's what it means. She hid him for 3 moons. She had to dampen some of the light. Otherwise, the Egyptians would have found him, and it would have been into the river. And then the whole story would have been different. And all the hidden potential within the heart of each person will emerge in the future when the light is really revealed. So the shir was really ended up being two parts. One was on Shema, and Gilgal Zeh and Gilgal Achor, and the second one was on this concept of light. Actually relates very much to the story of Moshe, Bereishis, Moshe, Purim, Chanukah, and the idea that some spark of light, even when we are in the darkness of Galus, resides within each and every single one of us. But Be'ezrat Hashem, next week, we will leave the topic of Gilgulim, as the Mechaber has spoken about, and we will move forward to continue his topic of seeing the good in situations that look to be bad. So we hope and pray that the neshama of Miriam Frohl, Miriam Eschaim Yitzchak, shall have a continuously in the schus of the Torah that we share tonight. I wish everybody a week of Besuros Tovos and a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you so much. Kol Tov to all.